It's HBR, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence, remembering a treasured guest and songwriting giant who passed away last week at 82. Let's take a minute to listen to the work of Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys.
Let's go surfing now, everybody's learning how, come on a safari with me.
She's real fine, my 409.
We could go on and on, but you get the idea. The last of the Wilson brothers, Brian was our guest three times over his life. And we are going to start and end today with stories he shared in the very first interview back in 2010 at the time of his Reimagines Gershwin album.
Your journey with the Gershwin's music began at a remarkably young age. I was hoping that you'd give us some of the background and context on that early influence.
I sure will. When I was 4 years old, my grandmother had Rhapsody in Blue by George Gershwin.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother took me over to her house, and they laid me down by the record player, and I listened to Rhapsody in Blue. Now, I can't remember listening at that time, but when I was 28 years old, I took Leonard Bernstein's version of Rhapsody in Blue, and I studied it and studied it until I learned, you know, the part that goes da 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 da, that section.
Yep.
I learned how to play that on the piano. It took me about 2 weeks to learn it. And then after I learned it, then I remembered hearing it when I was 4 years old.
Kind of brought you back to the first time.
Oh, took me back to when I was just a little kid.
What was it that ended up making these songs the ones that came onto the record?
Okay, here's what happened. First of all, they presented us with 25 George and Ira songs, and they wanted us to dwindle it down to 12 songs. Then the Disney people got a hold of 104 unfinished Gershwin piano trips.
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, I want you to take that 104 and listen to all of them and then choose just two out of the 104 that you can make a song around that will inspire a song. Finally, drilling it down to two, which eventually became The Like and I Love You and Nothing But Love, inspired by the melody and the chords of those two songs.
When you got them, what were they, on a CD?
Right.
And it was unfinished actual piano pieces.
By the man himself.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. It was one hell of a heck of a thrill for me to work with George. I thought it was quite a moment in my life.
The huge vocal sound. How does it happen? Is it a matter of, like, double tracking?
Here's what we do. We don't double, we quadruple. We do four overdubs for each four parts. So that's 16 voices.
And it's 16 tracks of you.
Yeah, it's like a little choir.
When I hear songs like, and you'll tell me if I'm right or wrong, but when I hear I've Got a Crush on You or I Got Rhythm, in my head I see this Brian Wilson high school quarterback standing around the drive-in burger place, and the song just fits into your own life autobiographically.
Wow, that's amazing. I think that's fantastic. It's a great observation.
Is that accurate?
Yes, it is.
In 2012, we spoke again as the Beach Boys reunited with Brian for their 50th anniversary tour.
What led to this thing? Thank you so much for taking time during the midst of it.
Michael Love asked me if I'd like to do a 50th anniversary tour. Last year he asked me, I said, sure. So we practiced, we got together, rehearsed, got all our songs rehearsed and everything.
How does the tour go when you're around each other?
The tour goes good. We're around, we all play together for each other, you know?
So you guys interact off stage as well?
Yeah.
How much time had you been spending together with the other guys when you weren't as a part of the Beach Boys?
Very little.
When it comes to the material, Brian, when did you start writing it?
We wrote about 8 things 14 years ago, then we wrote 4 things just this year.
When you're about to embark on these international dates, is the set list going to change what you play?
When we go to Japan, we'll probably adjust the set list. But Europe will mostly be the same set as the United States set.
How will Japan be different?
No, I don't know. We don't know what the Japanese people like. You know, we're going to have to figure it out.
Let's talk about the album.
They were all fun to record. We had a kick recording them.
How long did it take?
It took about 3 months.
Did you pick out all the people who would come in to play the unique instrumentation?
My solo band did.
And then the guys just came in and sang.
Right.
Mike's listed as the executive producer on it. How does that role work?
Executive producer is somebody who consults with the producer. It's more like a team. It's not that the executive producer is any higher than a producer.
Sure.
It's just somebody that bounces ideas off each other.
In terms of the notes, do you ever have to talk about how it's going to be, or do you just hit it and roll?
We just hit it and roll. We just tackle it, you know, and nail it.
How about the other guys? Is there ever amount of direction?
Yeah, I had to teach each guy separately, and then we tried all together. But each guy has to be taught separately, then all five of the guys sing together.
So each guy was in there with you alone, working out what you wanted.
Right.
How long of a process does that take when you're one-on-one with them?
It takes about an hour and a half.
Only do it once, or you do it over and over?
Over and over.
For weeks, months?
A couple months, yeah.
With each guy.
Mike did it. His rendition was fantastic, yeah.
Are your vocals recorded last, or where do you fit into the recording?
My vocals are recorded same time as theirs.
Some of these lyrics.
I wrote the lyrics to The Private Life of Bill and Sue and Shelter.
In Shelter. Is there a person you're thinking of in particular with this?
No, I just thank God for the shelter from the sunlight and shelter from the cold night. Yeah, it's just it's being thankful for the, you have a thing called shelter.
Being grateful.
House is shelter.
The year 2017 saw another Beach Boys milestone and brought Brian Wilson back for his third time on the show.
You have an exciting tour, Pet Sounds 50th anniversary tour. Tell us about the incredible show that you've got planned.
Well, we've done Pet Sounds for over a year now, so we know pretty well. I think that the people are going to like it this time.
And this tour has some special guests, Al Jardine, Blondie Chapman. Talk about bringing them on board and what it's been like working with them.
Well, they're both great singers, and it's been a pleasure working with them.
What have been some of the highlights, your favorite places you've been? Anything stick out?
Japan. We had a good time in Japan.
And this is really one of those records, it's universal, huh? It takes you beyond just a beach sound. It's really something that people around the world can relate to.
Right, the lyrics, the melodies, the vocals. The instruments, they like it all.
How did you first come up with the album name?
Well, Mike Lowe thought of the album, Pet Sounds.
Wouldn't it be nice, for example, can you remember first coming up with some of that? Is there some story you can tell us?
Well, yeah, I wrote it right outside of a studio, in the hall, on a track piano. I wrote the chord pattern, then I went home and I finished it.
This album is also legendary for its unique use of instrumentation and sounds. Like on that one, I understand you and Tony Atcher were plucking the piano strings with a bobby pin to get that unique sound, and You Still Believe in Me.
Yeah, I remember doing that too.
Do you? You guys had your own dogs.
At the end of Caroline Mill, they had the dogs bark, yeah.
Also about this record, Brian, you were using the theremin. That's something that I understand. That was the first time it was ever used in any kind of pop song.
Well, theremin, we called the musicians' union, asked for a theremin player. They sent it over, and we used it. We used it on Good Vibrations, too.
Did they send over someone to play it, too, or did you guys just mess around with it?
We just messed around with it, yeah.
And speaking about messing around with things, one of the other things that's neat, on Caroline No, I understand it was, in fact, your father's idea to speed up the entire recording a half step.
Right. How'd you know that?
I was just doing some research. I knew it was a special record.
Yeah, my dad told me, he said, speed it up, it'll sound better. We speeded up a half a note, and it sounded a lot nicer.
Glenn Campbell, he plays guitar on at least five tunes, I think, on that.
Well, it was great because Glenn's a nice guy, and he did it very fast. He got the guitar thing very fast.
What was it about Tony that made you think he'd be a good partner for writing this landmark record?
I just liked the way he talked. You know, he talked very creatively, and he worked for an advertising agency. So he was the right choice.
Phil Spector's Wall of Sound production technique, how much had that influenced you when it came to doing this record?
Well, I really liked the way he produced records, so I learned from him how to combine instruments together.
When we go to see this concert live, what else is going to be happening in addition to you playing the entire Pet Sounds record?
About 25 Beach Boys songs.
Wow. Do you basically have one set that you've been doing now for a couple years?
We change it around from week to week, but we basically, it's the same set.
What's some of your favorite tracks on there?
Going with Pet Sounds?
Yeah.
God Only Knows, Wouldn't It Be Nice, Caroline No, That's Not Me, and Here Today.
And we wrap up our Brian Wilson remembrance where we started, rejoining our 2010 interview to learn about a Beach Boys epic and hear a fun story that connects to the islands.
The making of Good Vibrations, which has been seen as not only a production extravaganza, but really it has a lot more to it. The theremin is used.
Well, believe it or not, my brother Carl said, why don't we use a cello and a theremin? I said, what? He goes, I'm picking up good. And then he goes, why don't we call a theremin player and a cello player from the union and have them come down to the studio and work with us? So that's what we did. And they wound up being a really good part of the signature of Good Vibrations.
That song, Good Vibrations.
Well, it was Michael's idea to come in with, I'm picking up good vibrations. I wrote a piano course that went, bom, 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 bom. And he took that melody, bom, 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 and turned it into, I'm picking up good vibrations. It was quite a coincidence that he could actually do that.
And what a message, though, that it carries to this day. It's like...
Well, the message is, I'm picking up good vibrations. It's not with his brain or with his soul. He's picking up good vibrations from a place.
Right. One of the key things to your sound, or perhaps over the years, the marriage with rock and roll has been the influence of Chuck Berry. Have you ever gotten to spend any time with him?
Chuck Berry is part and parcel of very many of our rock and roll songs. Literally taught me how to write rock and roll melodies.
And is he someone you still have any relationship with?
I met him one time in Kona about 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
He was on an airplane that I was on, headed to Kona. I said, hey, Chuck, are you Chuck Berry? He goes, hey, and then he turned his head away and he stopped talking. And I said, well, looks like Chuck is in the mood to talk to me. but I wanted to tell him how much his music meant to me, but I didn't get a chance to.
Wow, and you didn't say another word to him?
No, I just went back to my seat and that was it.
Wow, well, it's great just to hear the encounter.
Just let me hear some of that rock and roll music. The way he does that, with such spirit and soul and energy and love, he just puts everything into it.
So it isn't just the sound of the music, huh? It's what you just said. It's the energy and his spirit that had an impact, too.
Right, that's exactly, and that's what Good Vibrations did, is spirit and energy.
It's a great message, Good Vibrations. It's just the right way to think. You give off good vibrations, you get them back, yeah?
That's right. The smile you send out returns to you.
And as I wrap it up with you, what city are you calling home these days?
Beverly Hills, Los Angeles. Beautiful place. We live in a place called Mulholland Estates, which we have a guard station. Nobody gets through unless they call us first, then they let them through. So we have security, you know what I mean? Not only security, but I have a house which does two things. One, it keeps the sunlight from burning your eyes, and it keeps the cold night down to a minimum.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you.
Hey, Dave, you know, thank you so much for this interview. I don't know if I'll see you or not, and if we come to Hawaii, I'll have my publicist give me your number, and I'll call you when I get there, if I go to Hawaii.
You are the man. Brian, I'm giving you a big hug, and I really do appreciate your time, brother.
Man, you are something else of an interviewer. Thank you so much for a great interview. I've had thousands of interviews that raced in the top five.
Aloha, it's Brian Wilson. You're tuned in to my good friend Dave Lawrence.